Good morning. I too want to greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Stand before you with very mixed emotions. May the grace and the peace of God be with us all here this morning. I want to bless each one of you that shared testimony this morning of the great work that God has done in your lives. As I sat there listening, these words came to my mind out of Ephesians 2. You know, each one of you alluded to a time in your life where you were without God. That is true for each one of us, and that might still be true for some sitting here this morning. Sitting here without God. I don't know. But I was there too. All of us that are sitting here as children of God this morning, we were there, weren't we? Verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." God is good, amen? God is good. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." But God. Also thinking of a couple of verses out of 1 Peter. Considering life without God, considering some of the lifestyles that were testified of here this morning, of a life without God. Today God says, "Ye are a chosen generation." You're now in a different camp. Before, we found ourselves in a generation or a camp of those rejected by a holy God. But today, because of God's great love and mercy wherewith he hath loved us, today he says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people." That's hard to fathom when you're without God and you think you have everything. You think you own life and life owes you everything. But God's word says that without God, you're not even a people. You're a nobody. I'm a nobody. Time passed, we're not a people. But now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Just a few thoughts as you shared your testimonies. I want to encourage you. Be true. Be true to your Jesus. God is good, amen? You know, and the goodness of God doesn't change with the changing circumstances of life. God remains good. God is good, and as some would say, and all the time, God is good. But God bless each one of you that shared testimony. I rejoice with you. I rejoice in the work that God has done in your lives. I rejoice that we can be here and witness, not only hear your testimonies, but then also witness the sealing of your faith in Christ with water baptism. It feels very strange. After 3.5 years, when I look over the crowd, the congregation here, it looks so different. Much has happened in 3.5 years. But it's a good strange. You'll just have to excuse my emotions. This morning we're going to try to keep the message a little shorter. I notice there's no whiteboard here. It's something else that's changed. If there was a whiteboard there, I would put a word on there for us. A word that we want to consider a bit this morning, and that's the word faithfulness. Faithfulness. Maybe before we go, maybe we rise and again have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, loving, kind, merciful, this morning we say thank you for being the God that you are. A good God. A faithful God. A loving God. A God that understands that we are but dust. A God that understands our limitations. This morning we say thank you for loving us. Thank you for proving your love to us through sending your only begotten Son. Thank you, Father, for not holding back in any way. But you have secured, made available a full salvation. Thank you. Thank you for this gathering here this morning. Thank you, Father, for the testimonies that we have heard. And Father, I pray a special blessing on them as they go through this day. Father, as they go into the water, and as they come out, and as they face reality and life in this community, God be with them. Empower them to be shining lights in this dark, dark world. Father, may you receive all the glory. Draw men to yourself. Father, if there be anyone sitting here this morning who is yet without God in this life, we pray that you would draw them to yourself and they would find an experience, salvation. They too would undergo this operation that only you can do and have a testimony. Thank you, Father, that you're still striving with mankind. We know the day is coming where you will stop. But today we still have a day of grace. You're still striving. Your heart has never changed. You still have no desire in the death of a sinner. You don't want anyone to perish. You're still drawing men to yourself. Thank you. Father, bless our thoughts that we want to share from your word this morning. Father, I pray it would spur us on to walk with you until we take our last step. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Faithfulness. Not sure what you think of when you think of the word faithful or faithfulness. But I'd like to start off here this morning by having us, those of us that are married, consider our spouses. How valuable is faithfulness in marriage? How much do you value the faithfulness of your spouse? In marriage, not just Christian marriages, but in marriage in general, faithfulness is just about everything. Is it not? We place a lot of importance, we place a lot of value on faithfulness, and rightfully so. Many times over the last 3 years, from time to time, I've been asked how I'm doing, how I'm faring, how's the family, how's the church doing? And you know, we had some trying times. I had caught the virus 4 times, I think. And it's the last time it really left its teeth marks. I think I have my thorn in the flesh from the last one. So we've had our challenges. We've had other challenges. Not just over the last 3 years, but ongoing for years. So when they ask me, how am I doing? My response has been that God is good and faithful. I only wish that I could say that I was always faithful in return. That's my heart. But I know that I have my needs, I have my weaknesses, I have my failures. But God has always been good
and always been very faithful.
Faithfulness. Again, to those of you who are, Lord willing, sealing your faith, your vow to God, to be faithful to God for the rest of your life. Don't forget that. It's a sealing of that vow, of that commitment, and it is for life. It's a till death do us part. Now, what does it mean to be faithful? If a person, if someone, and if an individual is to be found faithful, what does he look like? What does it look like? I have some words here. Again, I would love to just write them on the board. But when you think of faithfulness, I think of reliability. Someone that's reliable. Steadfastness. Unwavering. True. Devoted. Dependable. Consistent. Unchanging. And the list could go on. But would not every one of those words rightly describe who God is? Our God is very reliable, isn't he? He is absolutely steadfast. He never wavers. He's always true. He is absolutely devoted and committed. He's very dependable. He's consistent. He never changes. So that is my definition for us this morning to the word faithfulness or faithful. And you and I are called to be faithful. Faithful. So you ask yourself, is that me? Is that me? Do these words describe me? You know, it pains my heart to, and I mean, it came up in some of our conversation last night around the fire. It just pains my heart to think of, to talk about, to know that some that we know committed adultery. Well, they might be together in marriage still, but they committed adultery with God. Given to change. Living an adulterous lifestyle with God, claiming to still be part of the bride of Christ. How does that sit with you? Now, I'm persuaded better things than that of you. But there would have been a time I would have said the same thing of them. And I'm not here doubting you. But the reality, brothers and sisters, is that if we lose sight of our call to be devoted to God till death do us part, to be faithful to God in return to his faithfulness to us, we can have the sad report follow us that follows many that we know today.
I'm here this morning. I haven't stood before you for 3.5 years. Some of you I've never seen before. I'm here this morning to encourage us to be faithful. To be faithful. We're going to look at the faithfulness of God somewhat, and we're going to look at the effects of God's faithfulness, how God wants to use His own faithfulness in our lives, and then, of course, our call to be faithful in return. When Brother Steve messaged me, he says, can we change? Instead of you sharing at the waterside, can you share it Sunday morning? I said, whatever the church wants. I'll serve where I can. I don't think it was 10 minutes after I replied back to Brother Steve that this word was in my mind. So I trust God. So when you think of faithfulness and what that looks like, the Bible speaks of that type of committed, unchanging, unwavering faithfulness in at least 4 different ways. Number one, speaks of it as an attribute of God. Number two, it speaks of it as a positive characteristic of some people. Some people. Thirdly, it speaks of it as a characteristic that many people lack. And fourthly, it speaks of it as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is also used in the sense of believing. You know, you think of the Christians there at Ephesus, Colossae. The scripture says this, it's Paul writing, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So speaking of it in terms of believers. That's a church at Ephesus, Colossae. It says this to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. We'll get to this thought a little bit later. I'll try to keep it. So the believers were referred to as being faithful individuals. The scriptures many times refers to God's faithfulness towards us, towards mankind in general. I know that we don't need to go there. I don't need to try to convince anyone here this morning of God's faithfulness to mankind. We have example after example after example written for us in the Word of God of God's faithfulness. You know, when God says He'll do something, He does it. You can absolutely bank on it. There's no need to question it, right? God is very faithful. When He says He's going to do something, He does it. Even when it seems impossible to us looking on. But when He says something will happen, it happens. God has not changed. We think back to the days of creation. God spoke everything into an existence, and there was no choice. What He spoke had to happen. It's still that way. It's true of the past. It's true of God in the present where we find ourselves today. And it's true of God going forward in the future. If what I just said was not to be true, if that was not the case, even just one time in one area, then God would not be reliable. Then we could not rely on a single promise given to us by God. If it only happened one time in one area. But we know that God is true. God is faithful. God is fully dependable. Not one word has ever failed. And not one word will ever fail. I like the words that we find in 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. That was their testimony. There hath not failed one word of all his promise, or of all his good promise, it says, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. I sometimes wonder, Moses as a man, I wonder how many times he trembled to convey the message of God to the people. Now what if God doesn't come through as a man? But Moses was a man that had great faith in God. He trusted God. And he conveyed the message to Israel. God is eternally reliable. God is eternally steadfast. God is eternally unwavering. God is God. We can fully rest and trust his faithfulness. Because faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. You know, God does not have to work at being faithful like you and I do. For us, it's sometimes a labor. You know, there's choices that we need to make in order to remain faithful. It's our choices, brothers and sisters. It's our choices, young people, that will that determine whether we will be faithful or unfaithful. It's our choices. We have to labor. We have to be actively involved in our faithfulness. But God doesn't have to labor to be faithful. He is faithful. It's a part of who he is. You can't change that. But we must labor. There's no such thing as for us to just kind of coast and glide through life and be found faithful to God. We must choose over and over and over again. He is faithful. It's an essential part of who he is. The psalmist says in Psalm 89, verses 6 through 8, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto our Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Two questions. Who can we compare you to? Lord, who's strong like you? Who's faithful like you?
The Hebrew writer says this: Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, the same yesterday and today and forever. Past, present, future. Unchanging. Brothers and sisters, it is God's faithfulness. It is God's faithfulness. It's only because of God's faithfulness that we find ourselves trusting Him. Right? It is His faithfulness that enables us to put our faith in Him. Our faith in God should result in faithfulness to God. Your faith, my faith in God, should result in faithfulness to God. Faith is the very first part of the word faithful or faithfulness. Our faith should equate in faithfulness. True faith in God results in faithfulness to God. Faithfulness is an expression of true faith. It overrides any and every profession that we make. If the fruit of faithfulness is not there, doesn't matter what I say, doesn't matter what anyone says, it voids my faith. Because true faith results in faithfulness. God is eternally faithful. God is absolutely faithful. And in His faithfulness, God protects you and I from evil. Have you ever thought about that? It is because of His faithfulness that you and I are being protected from evil. Reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1, 2, and 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. A result of God's faithfulness, we are being protected from evil. God is absolutely faithful, and in His faithfulness, God sets limits on the temptations that come our way. Now, I'm saying some of these, I just drew out a few of them to have us value and just reevaluate the value of God's faithfulness to us. We reap the benefits of His faithfulness in many ways. But as a result of His faithfulness, He sets limits on the temptations that come our way. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, it says.
God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able? God sets the limit. He is faithful. And because he's faithful, he sets the limit.
So he allows a measure of it to come our way, but it can't override, go over and above the limit that he sets. And whatever God does allow to come our way, the verse goes on and it says, there he will also make a way of escape so that we are able to bear it. God is faithful. God is absolutely faithful. And in his faithfulness, God forgives us of our sin, right? 1 John 1:9, we heard this verse many times this morning. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. Faithful. Faithful to what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. And then lastly, God is absolutely faithful, and in his faithfulness, he sanctifies us. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and in his faithfulness, he'll take and sanctify us. So that's a limited view of God's faithfulness to us. His faithfulness to us should strengthen our commitment of faithfulness to him. Amen? His faithfulness should strengthen our commitment of faithfulness to him. So as we, as the children of God, consistently, unchangingly, unwaveringly walk with God and in humble service to him, there's a title that God wants to put to us. Brian, my faithful servant. You put your name there. God wants to put it there. Faithful. Faithful. The account of Nehemiah, great task of building the wall, and when it was all said and done, and he was ready to return to Persia, he put two men in charge. And the reason for his choice of these men was that they were what? Can you guess? He chose Hanani and Hananiah. Why? Pardon? That's right. They were faithful. They were faithful men. And Nehemiah says, I'm giving you charge. I'm giving you responsibility. Let me read to you Nehemiah 7, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. No small charge. This is quite a task. Over Jerusalem. Why? For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Nehemiah, he saw the task and he knew what was needed. He needed men who would not take bribes. He needed men who were committed to the welfare of the people.
He needed men who would uphold the integrity of the role. And he looked to these two and he says, "You're it." As I look over the people, you've been more faithful than most. I can trust you. You know, faithfulness is, there's a direct link in faithfulness and fearing God. You will hardly find a faithful individual that does not fear God. But one who fears God, you will find faithful. So the better you and I truly get to know God, the more you and I will want to be like Him. It will not be a have to, but I want to. Ephesians 5:1, how does that sit with you, that command? It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Does that sound burdensome, tiresome, just overbearing? Be ye followers of God as dear children. And this morning, we're just going to limit that being followers of God as dear children, looking at His faithfulness and then our call to be faithful like He is faithful. That's a high calling. We're supposed to imitate the faithfulness of God as dear children. It's a high calling, but there's a tremendous protection there. There's a tremendous safety there for us as a people. If that's our heart, I want to follow the faithfulness of God. How I see God, how I know God, how I read how He dealt with the people. God was just always faithful. I want to be like that. We have examples of individuals who are called faithful. They're called faithful. You have Silvanus, 1 Peter 5:12. "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand." Paul saying of Silvanus, faithful brother. You have Tychicus. "But that ye may... that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister." Epaphras. "And ye, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister." Onesimus. "A faithful and beloved brother who is one of you." Moses. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Faithful. I love the thought of someone keeping a diary of your life, our lives, and then to be able to say, faithful, so-and-so. You know, the men that we just read about here, they were still living. They were still active. They hadn't passed off the scene yet. They were spoken well of in this present life, in their present life. Yes, we want a testimony at the end to say that we were faithful. But brothers, in order to have that, we must have it today while we're living. Are we concerned about being found faithful to God? I trust we are. But many are not. And that's why we see such a falling away. There's no concern, or at least not enough of a concern, to be found faithful. And some wave comes in, they get swept up. So if someone was to describe your and my life, could they rightfully tag the word faithful to it? How does God view our faithfulness? Does it really matter? Well, we know that in the parable of the talents, and I'm going to read to you just a couple of verses out of the account found in Luke 19. It says, "Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound, just 1 pound, hath gained 10 other pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, even just in that 1 pound, but you were found faithful with that 1 pound, have thou authority over 10 cities. Faithful in the little things proves to God that we can be faithful in bigger things. Faithfulness matters. The Bible warns us of the consequences of unfaithfulness. And I think these warnings are necessary because, as the hymn says, you know, sometimes prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. That's true of every one of us. Our hearts are often not as consistent as we would like them to be. And it's good for us to recognize that, because that helps us onto faithfulness. But to ignore that or accept that as the norm creates unfaithfulness, if that makes sense. Yeah, I had some examples here. We're not going to look at them here. I'll just say this, that faithfulness affects every relationship that we have. Started off with the picture of our marriage and faithfulness there. To what degree would our relationship, marriage relationship, be affected if one or the other is unfaithful? The whole relationship, right? It affects the whole relationship. It doesn't just affect one aspect of our marriage relationship. It affects the whole relationship. Our unfaithfulness to God does the same thing. It does the same thing. And somehow, as a people, we tend to want to minimize that and say, it's not that bad. But it is that bad. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Ephesians 6, 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What's going to enable us to be faithful? What's a great help, a great aid to us? One, direct our thoughts and the things we meditate on. Fill ourselves with the Word of God. Going to God in prayer. That will help us. That will enable us to be faithful. Great tools God's given to us to help us. You know, this whole walk with God is founded and based upon faith. Faith. God is faithful to His children. And by the grace of God, we can be faithful to Him. And one day, hear these blessed words, "Well done." Who? To whom will He say those words? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We all want to hear those words. I know we do. I'm not sharing these words because I doubt that anyone here does not want to hear those words from our Lord Jesus. But in order to hear them, we have to be concerned about our faithfulness in this life. We have to be concerned about the choices that we make. I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for your faithfulness over the years. 3.5 years later, we come back, and those whom we knew before those 3.5 years, thank you for your faithfulness today. Keep on being faithful. It is a great joy to find you faithful today. Together, let's determine to be faithful to God, not wavering. Let's not be given to change, knowing that God will reward our faithfulness. God puts a prize, a high prize, on faithfulness. Jesus says, and we'll close with this verse, Revelation 2:10. Fear not, none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That crown of life is worth far more than any sweat drop that it costs us here to be found faithful. Let's be faithful. God bless you.